the meditation. I remember I was trying to get these guys to breathe, and I walked in service one day. I walked into the B5, and there were some guys hanging around, and they were going. I said, "Something don't look right." And that's when Kevin had the mohawk too. And I looked over at one of the guys, and there was blood running down the side of his head. And all of them said, "Where'd that come from?" He said, "No, that's all right." I said, no, where'd that come from?" He said, "No." I said, "No." And so I'm going to call the sergeant. So I called the sergeant in, and there had been a fight going on. And they left me in there. Before, they always took me out. This time, they left me in there. So they left me in there. I said, "Okay, fellas, y'all remember this now. Remember what I taught y'all. We got to calm down so we can talk about this. But we can't calm down if somebody don't breathe." And Kevin, I was saying, "Y'all got to breathe." And so Kevin was moving all around going, "Y'all got to breathe, guys. You got to breathe. You got to breathe." And he said, "I can't, but y'all can." Remember that, Kevin? It was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious at the time, because Kevin was the one that pulled those guys back down, because the Holy Spirit used him that day when he ran around and said, "Breathe, breathe, breathe." Praise God. God's awesome. Isn't God awesome? Y'all remember String Bean? On Hee Haw, he tried to find his letter, and it says right next to my heart, 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 and he go, "Oh, there it is." Okay, well, I was trying to find my glasses, but it wasn't next to my heart. Praise God. I'm glad it all falls together, because this week, when I go to B5 on Mondays, I'll ask them during the week if there's something specifically they're dealing with, or if I'm talking with them and I notice there's a collaborative problem, then I'll go ahead and try to work on that problem. And so last week, I got talking with them, and so I began to work with them, because I saw that there was some guys worried about what was going on, because they haven't talked to their loved ones, they can't get them on the phone, they can't get a hold of their lawyer, and so they sit in B5 all day, except when they get a chance to go out and work, which is, you know, working the laundry or working the food, and they sit back, and what they do? Same thing that y'all do. The same thing I do. Worry. And so, when I went in that day, I asked God, I said, "God, help me. Show me something to help these guys." And the Lord began to deal with me about worry again. Worry. And so, as He began to deal with me about worry, I remember this is First Sunday, and First Sunday is our Sundays. We're doing Revelation, but our First Sunday is always back to basics. And so here I was thinking, "The Lord, what do we do?" And as I was ministering to these guys in B5 last Monday, this again all came to me, and I said, "Okay, Lord, and I know this is for this morning." That now, several years ago, a woman had been troubled. She was having trouble about getting to sleep at night because she was worried that burglars might break into her home. One night her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. "Good evening," said the man of the house. "I'm pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you 10 years. All right. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Turn to Philippians. Y'all are looking good. I know you can't help that. There's times when I talk to people, I look at them and I see their time bomb. I see the time bomb. I see it ticking. I can hear it. And when I see it ticking, I try my best to find some way to defuse that bomb. Whether they tell me or not, I still can see it most of the time. And I ask God to help me in that. And even if I don't see it, and they tell me, "Look, I feel like I'm about to implode," then this is what's going on in their life. So get your Bible out. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm so glad that Kevin came today. And Brother Stamp, say something. Greet the people. Yeah, stand up and greet them. He drove up today in the car, looked like my father-in-law's car, and my father-in-law doing here. And then I saw it was a Virginia tag. Go ahead, bro. God bless you, bro. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. So today's a really awesome service. We've had people come from Virginia and Farmville to get here. Ain't that cool? Y'all are awful quiet. Everybody's awful quiet. Y'all get me nervous when you get quiet like that. Y'all stand up. Everybody stand up. On the way up, y'all go, glory to God. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Y'all too quiet. Y'all scare me when you get quiet. Every time my boys got quiet, I knew they were up to something. That's right. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We've been talking about some of this stuff on Tuesday nights, but not this specifically. And again, this actually originated Monday in B5 with those guys. And again, remember, just because those guys are behind bars and they can't move and they're worried about their situation doesn't mean that you're not here behind bars and can't move. Okay? Matter of fact, I can see their bars. I can see their guards. I can't see your bars. I can't see your guards. But Satan will stand around and he'll do his best to keep you locked up, keep you locked out, and keep you so involved in worry that you just wind up literally being no good for yourself. So let's go. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you say and do. Lord, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Lord, if there's anybody here that is having a problem with worry today, Father, help them find a way to diffuse it and let you take over. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. I was doing a study on worry. And as I was doing a study on worry, I came across some stuff that literally blew my mind away. And I want to share this with y'all right now. Of course, what is worry? What is it? He said, be careful for nothing, which is anxious. Being anxious for nothing, not be worried about anything. What is worry? I'm glad you asked. Worry, number one, is an intense, emotional, mental distress caused by anxiety. The problem is, we can only see so far. We can only reach so far. And if we don't allow God in on this, then we're going to reach our limits fast. There's nobody in this place that can do everything they need to do without God. There's not one person. Not one. God has to be in control. God has to be leading. God has to be guiding. Here's the part that really blew me away as I was studying about worry. Worry also means, in some languages, to seize by the throat with the teeth and shake and mangle. You ever seen a dog do that? The dog will grab a person, or the dog will grab another animal when it is under attack, and it will grab the other animal's throat And after it grabs the other animal's throat, it will bite down hard to try to stop the other animal from being able to breathe. And not only is it to stop the other animal from breathing, but then it begins to shake it back and forth because instinctively it's trying to crush its windpipe or its ability to breathe. Literally, when an animal does this, it will shake the life out of you. Or whatever animal it's at. My brother, he had a little bitty old dog, a little chihuahua kind of like dog, poodle, chihuahua something. And my cousin, who lived three blocks down, let his dog out to use the bathroom, which was a lab, and the lab has always been gentle. But the lab, for some reason, decided to wander, always stayed around his house, decided to wander, and he got around my brother's yard, and when he saw that little bitty dog, he grabbed it and grabbed it by the throat and took it and shook it and shook it and shook it. And my brother heard the commotion and went out and stopped the dog. And of course, the dog had to have several surgeries to be put back in working order, so to speak. But my brother said his children were absolutely terrified when they saw this bigger dog, this big black dog, taking their little bitty old poodle and just tearing it all to pieces and ripping it and throwing it. Well, you know what? Sometimes you're that little dog. Life is coming at you so hard. Life is coming at you, especially with COVID. You think with COVID things would have slowed down because we were stuck in the house. We were stuck in our little bubble, so to speak. And when you're in that bubble, you're thinking everything is going to be a safe place. But actually what COVID did was it actually expanded our worry. It expanded all kinds of things. Because remember, worry comes when you try to do all the reaching, you try to do all the handling, you try to do it all yourself without the help of God. And without God, you find out very quick you will come up short. And so I'm thinking about in COVID, there's people that I've ministered to, and there's times I've even felt this way. I felt like the little dog that had the teeth around his neck and being shaken and ripped and thrown down. Now, if you can think of worry like that, wow. That's a powerful thought. And when I see somebody like that, usually not only are they getting anxious, usually by this point, you know what happens next? An anxiety attack. Because they don't know how to handle all this pressure that they're feeling that's trying to stop them from breathing and even thinking. Biblically, you'll find that worry means to choke, to suffocate, to crowd out, or to crowd in. So what I have discovered about worry, and I see it all the time, not just with B5 and not just with me or my close family, but everybody I minister to, and I'll go into Walmart or I'll go into someplace, and inevitably I'll wind up ministering to somebody. I was getting my car worked on the other day, and they said, if you can come in, I'll work you in. And I found out he weren't working me in. God was working me out. Because while I waited for those couple hours while I worked on my car, I was working with people. And so I said, he said, I'm sorry it's taking so long. We're so crowded. And I said, it's all right. I realized it was a divine appointment. And I just said, okay, God, you know, we can do this with your help, God. Okay. So look, watch this now. Watch. And if this is where you're at right now, I want you to really think hard. I want you to see this. When you worry, it can keep you up all night. It can siphon away your energy. And it can consume your life. Like a mass explosion that's going on. It's like that wild animal that has grabbed you by the throat. And you're trying your best to breathe. You're trying to get him loose here. And at the same time, you're trying to get away. But you can't get away because he's around your throat. You're trying to get him from around your throat, but you can't get away because you're trying to get it from around your throat. And then the anxiety attack sets in. Now, You got to understand this. Worry, nobody has to be taught how to worry. Nobody. Worry is natural. Worry is something that we all seem prone to be able to do with very little training. But let me tell you something. Although naturally worry is common among all people, you're going to have to deal with it supernaturally. You're going to have to let God get in control. You're going to have to let God take over. You're going to have to get to a place where you just got to stop. You know, I do that all the time. You might see me sometimes and I'm not talking. And the reason I'm not talking sometimes is because I'm breathing. Told y'all about it all the time. And what it does is when I do that breathing and I hold it and I let it go, then my mind can slow down long enough for God to talk to me. And as God begins to talk to me, then God can tell me how to handle my situation without getting all bent out of shape. So watch. So now worry, a major cause of stress is worry. Worry should not be a part of our lives. Worry kills our joy. It robs our energy. We become unproductive. We become tired. COVID has done that. COVID has done this to so many people. COVID has got us to the point some people don't even want to even try anymore. Have you seen that? Don't even want to try. Because they're thinking, well, I wanted to try when early on. I just thought it was going to be for 14 days. I thought it was going to be for a month. I didn't know it was going to be for over a year. I had no idea it was going to be like this. So people, there's a lot of people become unproductive. They become tired. And most common worries, and these are all from COVID too, finances, jobs, relationships, kids, and health. COVID hit every last one of them. So, the Old English word, again, I'm going to give you some words for worry, means to strangle or to choke. So now, let's go a little bit further here, and then I won't keep you long today, so don't get worried. Okay, just keeping y'all, you know. All right, here you go. Okay, that's right. Worry and concern. Now, there's a difference in worry and concern. I tell people all the time, you need to be concerned, but I don't need you to be worried. Watch this. There's a difference in worry and concern. Concern is solution-oriented. When you're concerned about something, it focuses on solving a problem. It has a positive focus on the future, and it comes up with options, and it addresses the problem. Matter of fact, when you're concerned, I can hand it to God and let go. Come on now. When I'm concerned, I can take it from my hands and I can give it to God. And once I give it to God, my talk will be, why not? You say, well, how's it going to work? Or what's going to happen? What, 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 and you're going, huh? I'm concerned. I've given it to God. So why not give it to God? Why not give Him a try? Why not trust Him? Why not? God's a whole lot bigger than we are. God can handle a whole lot more than we can handle. So watch. So now here's worry. Worry is problem-oriented. Focuses on the problem. It has a negative focus on the future. It speculates on what may happen and fearing the worst. You are somebody that's caught up in worry, and their whole question is, what if? It's always kind of crazy when I'm talking with somebody, and I'm going, why not? And they're going, what if? And I go, why not trust God? What if He don't listen? Why not just give it to God? What if He won't take it? Why not let God handle this? What if it don't work? What if you just try to chill for a minute and let God handle it, breathe a little bit, let God work? And they go, but what if He won't? Wow. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody like that? Now let me ask you another question. Do not raise your hands. Do not point. Do you know somebody in here like that? And let me ask you another question. Is that person that you know you? Instead of why not, it's what if. Well, I was trying to get to be friends with them again, but what if it didn't work? I would try to do this again, but what if they hurt me again? I would try to do this, but what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? You know what? What if could write a country song. There's two different verbiages that when I hear this, I know where it's going. If I hear shoulda, coulda, woulda, whenever I hear shoulda, coulda, woulda, or something like that, I start looking for signs of depression. If I hear what if, I start looking for signs of anxiety. But if I hear why not, I start looking for faith. Wow. Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not trust Him? Why not try walking by faith? Why not try giving it over to Him? So now, here you go. I'm going to do some contrast, and I'm going to try to hurry this up, but don't get worried if I don't. It'll be okay. Okay. Concern and worry. All right. Watch this. Concern focuses on us. Worry distracts us. I'm going to just stop. Just kind of tune in for me. Concern focuses on us. Worry distracts us. Kind of hard for God to work on you when you ain't. Look, God's trying to give you a blessing. You're running from Him. If you slow down for 5 seconds, I'll bless you. So worry focuses on us. Concern focuses us. Worry distracts us. Concern helps us plan. Worry disables planning. You can't even plan. You know, when I talk to somebody like that, when I get around somebody that's like that, sometimes I just have to let them go for a while. You go, okay, I tell you what. You go ahead and try to work it out the way you got, and when you're ready to talk, we'll talk, because right now you don't want to hear what anybody else has got to say. All you want to do is worry. And so, honestly, all you're doing is you're stopping your own blessing. So if you want to stop your own blessing, you go ahead. But when you're ready to work on it, let me know. Concern clarifies purpose. Worry blurs our vision. Concern preserves. Worry tends to give up. Concern pinpoints problems. Worry exaggerates. You know, I can always tell what kind of momentum somebody's got in their life. Momentum is a great exaggerator. God shows us all this stuff in His Word. Momentum is a great exaggerator. When you got a negative momentum in your life, no matter how good it is, it's going to look bad. And no matter how the smallest of bad things exaggerated becomes big when you're in a negative momentum. And the greatest of big things are small, but when you got a positive momentum, the biggest of bad things get small. You know why? I like to think about David and Goliath. Saul wouldn't fight Goliath. He was too big. He said, I can't fight him. He's too big. And David said, let me at him. I can't miss him. He's that big. Are you looking at the size of your God, or are you looking at the size of your problem? COVID-19 was a global problem, and now Japan, because they're supposed to be having the World Olympics. They're getting ready to possibly close it down, or at least close down the stadiums, because now Japan has another strand of COVID-19, and Japan's only got 3% vaccinated. And so now they're talking about shutting down the Olympics in Japan for the summer because of COVID-19. You go into other countries, and COVID-19 is still a problem. And even here in the United States, there's still people that are dying from COVID-19. And so it's not over by any means. I'm glad we've got our ribbons cut, and I'm glad we're not wearing masks. You know, and I thought sort of pulled this down, but I said, you know what? I'm going to leave it up here to remind me of just how good God is. Amen? All right. So watch. Concern cares for other people. Get ready for this one. Please listen to this. Concern cares for others. Worry focuses on yourself. Whoop. I'll let that one soak for a while. I heard that one sizzling sometime a little while ago. Concern cares for others. Worry focuses on self. Concern, you attack the problem. Worry, the problem attacks you. So now, let me ask you a question. Looking at this, where do you want to be? How do you want to handle it? Every last one of us got things in here that we've got to get done. Every one of us in here has needs that have to be met. Every last one of us in here have things we got to do. Every last one of us here has got things that are coming up against us. If we're not careful, will pin us down or push us against the wall. But the choice is very clear. Do you want to be grabbed by the throat and be crushed and mangled and slammed down? Or do you want to say, God is yours. Help me to give it to you and leave it there. Wow. That's some powerful, powerful stuff. So just quick like. We're going to talk about the word and worry, and then we're going to go. All right? Some of y'all are saying, I'm worried he's not going to quit fast enough. I promise you, if the Baptist beat you to McDonald's, you can go to Burger King. Okay. Ready? Let's get ready. Look. First, worry is unhelpful. Worry never accomplishes anything. It does not solve a problem. It cannot change the past. It cannot control the future. It can only make you miserable today. Let me do it one more time. Worry cannot change the past. Now we're going to get real. How many got things in your past you wish you'd never done? Okay? You know, I would go into B5, but especially I'd go in D block or A block or B block, and I would start out with, y'all guys here ever feel confined? And then we go, really? But they wouldn't know that I was thinking in my own head when it was a little joke. That I was thinking, you know what? I feel confined tonight too. Wow. When I leave you, I'm going to go to the donut shop. And when you leave you there confined, I'm going to the donut shop confined because I got something on my mind and I'm trying to give it to God. And there's a fight going on inside of me between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians says it's a continual fight. And the flesh is trying to keep worrying and the spirit saying, just give it to God. And while that's going on, you're confined. Okay? So you cannot change the past. You cannot control the future. You can help aid in the future by what you do today, but you cannot control the future. And the only thing that worry does literally is makes you a hot mess now. So watch this. Get ready. Matthew 6:27, Amplified. Who of you by worrying or being anxious can add one unit of measure, one cubic to his stature? How can you grow any bit? I'm talking about get taller. Or can add years to his life by worrying. I can promise you this, worrying will take away years of your life. It may not take the actual number away, but it'll sure take the quality away. Worry kills. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 12, verse 25. And which of you, but being overly anxious and troubled with the cares, can add one cubit to a statue or a moment, unit of time to his age, to lengthen his life? So first, worry is unhelpful. It does not help us all. I heard about a man, he got tired of worrying, and the doctor said he had to find another way to handle his worry. So he put an ad in the paper. He said, I'll pay somebody $1,000 a week to worry for me. Ads came from everywhere. People were answering ads everywhere. Finally, he went through the process and he hired the guy. And so he said, here's what's going to happen. Whenever I got a problem, I'm going to bring it to you. You worry about it. I'm not going to have to worry about it. And at the end of the week, he said, well, you haven't sent me any things over here. He said, but I would still like to get paid. Where's my $1,000? He said, that's your first worry. All right. So it's unhelpful. Number two, it's unreasonable. Worry magnifies the problem. It makes mountains out of molehills. It makes problems seem bigger than they really are. You know, you can take a pair of binoculars, and if you do them right, puts things right in your face. I wish there was some way some of us Because what we've done is, worry is like those binoculars. Our problem may be down the road somewhere, it may be that big, but the binoculars have made them great big and in our face. If there's some way, you could take those binoculars and turn around the other way. What does it do? It makes them far, far away. And when you begin to be concerned, worry's got the binoculars this way. Concern has the binoculars turned around. Proverbs 12:25, New Living Translation says, worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Not only is it unhelpful, not only is it unreasonable, worry is unhealthy. A body is not made for worry. Worry can cause ulcers, headaches, insomnia. It's unnatural. You know something? And it's unnatural. Plants and animals do not worry. Did you know that? Plants and animals don't worry. Dogs, Buttons. I had a dog named Buttons. Buttons was a combination of a Cocker Spaniel and a Lhasa Apso. I'm not sure what Lhasa Apso means, but Buttons looked just like a Cocker Spaniel with legs about that long. It was gorgeous. It looked like a little show dog. And it didn't matter how big a dog came in, Buttons was the biggest dog out there. I remember when Linda and I got married and she brought a 90-pound Labrador Retriever to the house. And within a few hours, territory was already set. That 90-pound Doberman made sure that 20-pound Lhasa Apso Cocker Spaniel said it was okay to move. Why? Because dogs don't see that size. When Caleb and Joshua, and I'm going to preach a sermon this soon. I just got to wait for the right time. Caleb, when Joshua went into the promised land, they said the giants, the other guy said the giants looked like grasshoppers. They said we were grasshoppers in their eyes and in our own eyes. And Caleb and Joshua said they're bred for us. Caleb's name means dog. I don't believe that God was calling him a dog just to cut him down. But one thing about a dog is he don't realize his size. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. So little Buttons. Buttons would take over anywhere. That little bitty thing about that big was in control because it didn't see its size. Okay. They don't worry. They're not going back and forth and pacing. They trust their creator. The only thing in creation that worries is us. Wow. Notice I didn't say you. What did I say? Us. You say, well, I don't worry. Well, that's your first worry right there. You need to start worrying about something because you ain't right. Matter of fact, if you don't worry, I'd like to have a couple of what you're taking. If it's legal. Everybody, if they're not careful, worries. The difference is, do I change my worry to concern and make it productive? Or do I leave it in the worry cycle and just keep it rolling and stay in that destructive cycle? So now watch this. I'm almost through. Watch this. What we read to start with. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, what's the antidote to worry? Now, this is part one. I was just going to do one part, but I felt like I needed to have a second part. So next week, we're going to have part two, but I'm not going to leave you right there where you're going, well, okay, we're worried. Now what we're going to do? We'll come back next week. We're going to find out right now. Ready? Watch this. God's antidote to worry. You got to believe God's going to take care of you no matter what the situation is. Can you do that? Can you right now say to yourself, we're going to say it all together at the same time, and I want you to mean it. And if you don't mean it, you keep saying it till you do mean it. Y'all work. I'm going to say it first and we're going to say it together. Here's what I'm going to say. I believe God can take care of me and my situation. Ready? Together. I believe God can take care of me and my situation. One more time. I believe God can take care of me and my situation. Amen? So watch this now. Watch. Watch, here it goes. Psalm 23. Again, Amplified Version. The Lord is my shepherd, which means to feed, to guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. Wow. He feeds me, he guides me, he shields me. We have a faithful shepherd. Next, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So I want you to see this here. Watch. As my refuge, I can run to him. As my shepherd, he may run. Listen, there's times where I can't run to him. He will run to me. He left the 99 to do what? So as my shepherd, he runs to me. As my refuge, I run to him. How many times has he met you halfway? Wow. That's power. Why have I got to worry? Because if I need him, if I'm stuck, if I'm in a bad situation, I'm on the cliff, I'm hanging by my hands, I'm saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do now. The shepherd runs to me. I don't have to set an appointment. I don't have to make a fancy phone call. I don't have to worry about a down payment. I ain't got to worry about a copay. The shepherd will run to you when you need him. Praise God. And then when I find myself getting in trouble, I can run to him. Wow. That is so, so awesome. So now watch this. And I told you I'm getting ready to close. So here it is. Y'all ready? We're getting ready to close. I've only said it 3 times. I got to say it 5 to make it official. So hold on. Watch. I broke this scripture down for you. I want you to see something. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now remember I told you, you know, I went and got my car fixed. And after I got my car fixed, it threw a code. And I found out what, and so I already got worked in one day. And while I was there, again, I got a chance to minister to a lot of people while I'm waiting. And then it threw a code and he said, well, bring it back in. And so Thursday, I wind up there all day. But while I was there, and he said, I'm so sorry it took so long. And I said, no, it's fine, man. Everything's cool. Because I just got a chance to minister to people the whole time. It was really, really awesome. But look, when I was in that place, I could have got upset. Could have. You said you're going to work me in. You said it might take about 30 minutes to an hour. I've been here 2 hours and my car's still on the lift. But I said, no. God, you know more than I do. My hand can only reach so far. My mind can only reach so far. My heart can only reach so far. I have no idea what's going on in here today. I don't know. As far as I see is I got a car that threw a code and now I went for my car to get worked on and I can get impatient and I can get all upset and I can run around and stomp. But you know what? My car's still is going to be on the rack. So I just sat down and just started studying and just kept studying. And people come in and I kept working with people. People come in, I'd work with people. And it was just really, 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 really awesome because you see, here's one of the things you got to think about. I see it. In that one verse, listen carefully. If you're writing notes, write this down. In that one verse shows you just how powerful God is. That one verse speaks of God in 4 different ways. I'm going to show you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High, Elyon. Possession. He who dwells in the secret place of the owner of everything. Wow. The secret place means now I'm up where nobody else can see me. Just God. The one who created all, the one who owns all, the one who calls all. The Most High. I am His possession. Wow. He that dwells in the secret place, nobody knows I'm here. I can be sitting in the garage waiting for my car to be worked on. But although physically I may wait for my car to be worked on, instead of getting all upset, I realize I could be in the secret place. Wow. The one who created me. The one who owns me. The one who desires the best for me. I'm in the secret place with God. And because I was in the secret place, when people come in, they saw something different. Although I was in the secret place and they didn't know it, they knew that something was going on. That was powerful. So, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shaddai. Possession, now we're talking about provision. God is the provider of all. The one that supplies all I need. So he that's in the secret place of Elyon, the owner of all, shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai, the provider of all. Wow. Do you see why worry doesn't have to happen if you don't want it to? When you have a problem right now, what's the first thing you do? If you come from a car wreck and you pick up your phone, or somebody passes out in the store, or somebody's having a heart attack, what do? You dial what? From here out, when you start to worry, I want you to dial 911, Psalm 91:1. Okay? So, I'm almost through. Look. I will say of who? The Lord. Jehovah. Promise. The eternal, immutable, unchanging one, the great I am. I am His possession. He provides provision. He give me a promise. And so when I'm tempted to get so anxious about the future, guess what? I can dial spiritual 911 and I can start reading that to me and say, God, help me get this in my spirit. Because as I keep reading it to me, don't just read it in your breath. Read it out loud so you have somebody talking to you that's got some sense. Well, come on now. Because you're already talking to yourself, that was stupid. This will never work. I don't know why I even tried. I'm telling you what. What if, shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if. You sound like a crazy person. And the truth is, at that moment, you are. Because worry's not your block off. So you need to get some sanity. So how do you get sanity? You look, dial 911. And instead of going, shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if, I knew it wasn't going to work. I shoulda tried. You're stupid. You know that? I know none of y'all ever say that to yourself. Yeah, right. So watch. Instead go, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Now you're talking sanity to yourself. And just keep saying it over and over again. Read it until you get it down in your spirit. So watch this. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, Elohim, power. This name, which is associated with God, which God's name is associated in creation. In His introduction to us in the book of Genesis, He is Elohim. Did you know that? God, Elohim. His name, Elohim, appears over 2,700 times. So if he's got that kind of power and he can create, you're going, I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. I have no idea how I'm going to handle this. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know what I'm going to do next. You start reading that psalm to yourself and say, look, I do it all the time. When I find myself talking to myself, I know you don't see me do it because I don't do it out loud, but every now and then I do. And one day I was doing it at a stoplight, had my window down, and I think somebody beside me thought I had lost my mind. All I heard was something, you know, in my head, this is not going to work, and blah, 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 they hate you, blah, whatever was going on. And I did this. Stop it. Did you hear me? Stop it. And the person beside the car beside me was going. And actually, I don't know whether they didn't follow me or they went the other way. All of a sudden, I saw the signal turn on and they went the other way. I reckon if I was talking, there's nobody in the car but me, and I'm going, stop it! Y'all do this with me. Read it with me. It's right there. You can see it. Next time you're next time you feel like you're going to get worried, next time you feel like you're being grabbed by the throat and you cannot talk, the next time you start cutting yourself down, the next time you start beating yourself up, the next time you grab yourself, your own self by the throat, remember me telling you, I've told you 1,000 times, I had an uncle so mean, in the morning when he shaved, he had to hold a gun to his head to keep from cutting his own throat. Yeah, some of y'all heard it. Y'all going, yes, yeah, like the 50th time we've heard that. Look, but here's the problem. Some of y'all are doing the same thing. You're doing it right now. I guarantee you, somebody here right now said, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Matter of fact, if you're not careful, you'll hop out of here. Yep it. Yep it. Yep it. Yep it. It'll work for him, but yep it. It'll work for him, but yep it. It ain't going to work for me. Yep it. Yep it. Yep it. Yep it. Try it. Read it with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Y'all try that again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. The next time you start talking yourself down, the next time you start getting those little worry starts taking over and anxiety begins to take over and you feel yourself even starting to get anxious where you can't even hardly breathe. And the reason you can't breathe is because the dog's got you around your neck. That's why you can't breathe. Oh, physically, you've hyperventilated. Physically, you've got, you're overflowing with oxygen. You need to get some carbon dioxide. But spiritually and mentally and emotionally, here's what's happening. The devil sent out his black dog, and the black dog has got you by the throat. And he's choking the life out of you. Stand up and take control and say, I will not go down easy. And you say, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Then guess what happens? The devil's got to let go of your neck. Praise God. You need to be shouting now. This is a good time to shout. Amen. If you don't shout, I'll shout for you. Glory! 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 Okay. Let's get ready. Get ready to close. I keep trying to close, but y'all won't let me. Ready? Here's the last slide, I think. Ready? Y'all go ahead. Anybody got any steel toes? Did you bring your steel toes with you? I don't know anything I even say. I'll just let you read it. Somebody read it out loud. Read it again, louder. Amen. Yeah, watch this. Watch. Anytime you let worry consume you, oh, here we go. I'm going to hide again. Anytime you let worry consume you, your actions are saying God is not enough. Wow. One more time. Anytime you let your worry consume you to the point that you've got anxiety, you're so anxious now that no, you can't even hear anybody talk, your ears have shut off. I'm doing all kinds of psychological things. I'm not. I'm just sticking right to the word right now. And here it is. Anytime you let worry consume you, your actions are saying God is not enough. I don't know what that is, but I can tell you what that is not. That's not faith. You ready? I am not sure he can. I'm not sure he's big enough. I'm not sure he's even there. I hear that. I bet you I hear that 100 times a week. Wow. And that's just me talking. I'm just trying to be funny. No, that's not me talking. I bet I hear that 100 times a week. And it's not just from B5. I hear it all over the place. Wherever I go, because it seems like wherever I go, I wind up talking to somebody about something. I hear it all the time. The antidote to worry, again, is to run to your shepherd and your refuge. God never designed us to worry. He has not built us to worry. Worry will destroy you. The graveyards are full of people that worried their self to an early grave. People say, well, everybody's got their days are numbered. Yeah, your days are numbered, and God's got a number for you. But I want to tell you a little secret there. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, why love evil and die before that appointed time? Wow. Why love evil and die before that appointed time? That appointed time, God says, okay, they're going to live to be 75, but they die at 55. Why they die at 55? Well, because they were doing some crazy mess. Why love evil? That word evil means do it your way. And I know there's nobody in here besides me that likes to do it their way. My favorite song of all times, when Elvis used to sing it. I was 17 years old. When Elvis died, I cried. Elvis was in concert. I had that record. I played it in the bedroom all the time back when we had 45s. Even nobody knows what a 45 is anymore. Had 45s. On a record player that would drop the 45 down. And when that song came on, I'd pick up now I'm telling my age, I'd pick up that little arm and put it over this way so it would just keep on playing over and over and over again. And it was Elvis in one of his last concerts before he died. And he said, I did it my way. And I'd be in the bedroom and I'd go, I did it my way. It took about 5 years for God to get through this thick skull that my way wasn't getting it. I had to do it His way. And right now, I promise you, you can put yourself in an early grave by worrying. And if you're saying to yourself, what if, what if, what if, what if, that's worry. Period. What if, what if, what if is worry. And shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda is a form of mild or major form of depression or depressed spirit. Don't have to be depression. It can be a depressed spirit. So if all you're saying is shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you can't change yesterday. So you have a depressed spirit. What if, what if, what if, what if? You can't change tomorrow. Live right now. Right now. God's promised you. Here's what God's give you a promise of. He's giving you enough time to look. I like to think about it this way. God has guaranteed if life is a vapor, I got just enough time to pick up. I know this is going to sound kind of crude, but this is country boy, possum track talk. He's promised me enough time to pick my leg up and stick it in the coffin. Not even promised enough time to even get cuddled in good. So why want to worry about tomorrow? What if? And why in the world I want to go, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And my favorite thing, I try to quit saying all the time. Yib it. God's got this. And he said, be anxious for, here's the five things you can't be anxious for. Is that what he said? We just read it in the very beginning. Be anxious for what? He didn't give us five things we could put on that list. Nothing. Not our job, not our family, not our relationships, not our future, not our past. None of that. So when you do, you're saying God is not enough. Wow. That's a gut punch. God is not enough. Next week, I'm going to take it a little bit further to help you if you're getting in the worry trap, the anxiety trap. We're going to do one more thing to get out of it. We're going to use some awesome scriptures next week. But right now, y'all guys come up and play something. So play some not worry music. You're going to feel funny if they come up and start saying, don't worry, be happy. That's what they're getting ready. Look, that's what they're getting ready. They're getting ready to do it. I see them going. that song wound up selling like a quadrillion copies. Why? Because people were worried. Don't worry. Be happy. Yes. Okay. Everybody stand. COVID has brought worry to a new level. COVID honestly has done stuff that I just never would have imagined would have happened, and it's activated stuff that shouldn't have been activated. It's caused problems that shouldn't have been caused. It's got all kinds of things going around that shouldn't have been, and there's so much misinformation, and people are basing their whole lives on misinformation about certain things, whatever. It just, Three responses. If you got any one of these three, with every head bowed and every eye closed, these three responses. If you got any one of these three right now, I want you to close your eyes, bow your head so you're not looking around. If you got any one of these three responses, I can assure you that there's a depressing spirit or an anxious spirit. And there's doubt, fear. If it's shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, all the time, that's Satan trying to depress your spirit. If it's what if, what if, what if, what if, Satan's trying to get you to fall prey to an anxious spirit. And if it's yebit, 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 Satan's trying to get you to fall to a doubting spirit. And if these are three that you have problems with, and while nobody else is looking around, nobody's going to see you, don't be worried if somebody's going to see you. If those are some of your mantras, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, what if, what if, what if, shoulda, coulda, woulda, would you stick that hand up and say, yeah, I say those quite often. And I need God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I say it quite often, and I need God to do something about that. Maybe you're here today and you just feel like life has hit you so hard and it's got you in a tailspin and you're actually feeling the teeth in your neck and you're feeling your windpipe being crushed and you're needing God just to give you some good old wholesome relief. We're going to say this together. Ready? Let's say this together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. One more time. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Now say this with me. God, help me to remember that always You are more than enough. Always You are more than enough. Stretch forth your hands this way. Is more than enough. I refuse to worry because God can. I will be concerned, but I will not worry because God's got this. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all are looking good. I know you can't help it. He's so awesome. He is so awesome. Our God is so, so awesome. And we can trust Him with everything. Come out here Tuesday night. We're talking about how to express yourself. I ought to call it Expresso 101. Hey, that's a good sermon. That might be our next Back to Basics Expresso. Have a big coffee cup. Serve coffee to everybody. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Not necessarily. Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Father God, we just love You. We praise Your holy, precious name. And Lord, let us not never forget that You're bigger than anything that can come against us in this life. And Lord, when it's over and our time has come, the joy just started. It's just beginning. And Lord, we give You the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.